Well, we're pleased now to be joined by John Neighbors, host of Out of Bounds, Arkansas Radio, my man.
That's right.
Been on your show a number of times. First time meeting in person, though. This is great, man. I really appreciate you coming into our studio.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really nice. You know, I'm used to radio show hosts and where they have studios at. It's not exactly the most fanciest of places. You have a bunch of old posters and random stuff around that nobody knows the significance of it. So I feel like, I knew that you had a legitimate podcast, but now I feel like it's really legitimate. Now it's real.
Kind words. I appreciate you, man. So we are recording during the SEC tournament, but we don't know the results. This will come out after the results. So we did see the first game, though. God, it was a... Man, I don't know how you Arkansas folks do it, man, with just the roller coaster ride. What's your thoughts on Arkansas after just the Auburn game?
I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, I think I always like to quote the Mandalorian, this is the way. I mean, this is the way of Arkansas basketball, is that this year especially, they have done so many things where it's just they play really good in the first half or they have a big lead in the second half, and so many times they blow it. And it's the most infuriating, it's frustrating, whether it's missed field goals, whether it's not just playing the way that they're supposed to be playing good defense, missing free throws, anything. Just they always find ways to lose, and it was just nice for once to have a game to where against a high-quality opponent on a big stage, go out there, and even though they blew a lead again, but make the plays and have a big-time shot by Nick Smith to end up giving Arkansas the lead, and also Devo Davis making both free throws, which the front end of a 1-1, we always know how much pressure that is too. So hopefully that gives them some confidence. We'll see how the rest of the tournament plays out, but it was nice to see a little different result for the Razorback basketball team this time around.
How confident are you that they can make a little run here? Because we had Ty Richardson in here. He said it's going to be damn one and done. He had no confidence in even a single win. I'm curious to know where you were. Of course, you've been able to see a game, so
yeah.
A little unfair, but how far do you think the Razorbacks will go?
Well, honestly, I thought that Auburn and the way that they matched up against Arkansas, I wasn't feeling as confident as them beating Auburn. But now that they have,
yeah,
I like the matchup against A&M. They faced each other twice this year. Arkansas won and Bud Walton and really controlled that game. And then even the game in College Station, Arkansas lost it. But Arkansas was the better team in that game, just the fact that they went 9 minutes without making a basket. They had good shots. They just couldn't get it in the hole. And Arkansas ended up losing, I think, only by 3 points. So I just think matchup-wise, Arkansas has a better advantage over A&M than they do Auburn. So I think Arkansas can win. I think I'll pick them to win against A&M. I guess we'll find out and see how it goes. But if they do that, depends on if you play Kentucky or Vanderbilt, whoever it may be. I like what they can do matchup-wise. It's just a matter of them putting it together. And they did a good job of putting it together against Auburn at the end. So who knows? Maybe this will be another great one, too.
Yeah. All right. So let's transition to football, where not only football, but you cover it all.
Yeah.
Also, I forgot to mention Locked On Razorbacks.
Oh, yeah, with the jersey that got going on.
Your YouTube is killing it. Before we talk football, let's talk about your YouTube and your transition to that. Are you I don't know if surprise is the right word, but just like – God, you've got to be one of the fastest growing on the Locked On networks for the video component. Are you surprised? Because I'm talking thousands and thousands and thousands of views every day you get. Are you surprised how quickly it's happened?
I think I'm more surprised that people actually give that much interest in what the crap I have to say. Like why in the world would anybody care what I have to say about the Razorbacks? But, I mean, I'm very fortunate and very blessed in it, and I work for a great company. With both radio and for my podcast. So,
yeah.
You know, Signal Media does a great job with my radio station, and I love the people I work with. But Tegna, who owns the podcast, they've done a great job of, you know, obviously selling it and being able to have revenue coming into it. But the YouTube angle has just changed everything to where I know I was just rolling out of bed and I haven't put a hat on and I haven't worried about it. They're like, well, now you have to actually care what you look like and what your backdrop is. So I started doing that, and it's amazing how much it's grown. And honestly, when I was doing the numbers on it, and I don't know how it is for yours, but about 65-70% of my listening audience comes from YouTube, which is just wild because it's a podcast. You feel like, right, people just want to listen. But I think that there's an element to the easiness of how YouTube is, but also having a visual for some people there too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's exploded. So it's the number one Razorback podcast 2 years in a row now. There's nobody that even comes close to my downloads or to my listens and everything. And so I'm just very fortunate, and I love doing it. It's I mean, it gets talked about the Razorbacks every day and be paid for it. So you can't beat it. But I'm excited about where it can continue to go. Hopefully, continue to grow. But to say I'm surprised would be pretty much an understatement, because you never know what works until you do it, and then boom, it just takes off.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm getting away with someone, like I'm stealing.
Yeah.
Like people, I'm getting paid to do this. Like it's insane. But
yeah, same here.
So yeah, let's talk some Razorback football.
Okay.
We're in spring now. I gotta be honest with you, John. I mean, I've been hyping up Sam Pittman and KJ for a while, but I'm not feeling it this year. And that's not to say I'm sitting here saying they're garbage, they're horrible, but it's a tough division, staff turnover, roster turnover. Again, not sitting here saying they're terrible,
right?
But I'm wondering if you could sell me on being a little bit more optimistic for the Razorbacks this season.
Well, I get where you come from, because I'm not going to argue with anybody in saying that, oh, well, no, you're wrong, because Arkansas is going to be so good this year. Because I think that there's so many unknowns about what the next step is going to be. And I don't think that's any question that this past season was a disappointment. Arkansas should have been, in Razorback fans' minds, a 9-3 team at minimum. I mean, they were close in some games. They should have beaten A&M. They should have beaten Liberty. They even should have beaten LSU, to be honest. Like, if KJ Jefferson would have been healthy, would have seen. But still, would have, could have, should have, doesn't matter.
Right.
You are what your record says you are. So this year's a big one. There's been a lot of changes for Arkansas. I guess where I like to put my silver linings or my glass half full in this regard is that I like what Sam Pittman did in bringing in Dan Enos, because I think, as much as I actually liked Kendall Briles, because I did, I was someone who defended him, I think Dan Enos does a much better job at developing the quarterbacks. He may, as a play caller, we'll see, but mm-hmm. he's got a great track record, and I think he can help elevate KJ. I think having Rocket Sanders back is big. I think that the defense is going to be better overall, because it can't get much worse, especially in the passing game. So I like those elements, but the thing is to me, it's the schedule, which the schedule is always going to be difficult at Arkansas. But as far as this upcoming season, to me, it looks like it's the easiest schedule that Arkansas's had in a long time. Now, it's not going to be easy, but it's the easiest.
Right.
Because your non-conference games, your toughest one is BYU, and you have all your games at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then so you have a great advantage there. And then you play in the SEC West, and you'll have those games there too. But as far as the SEC East goes, you get Missouri at home, which I know they haven't beaten Missouri near enough for my liking, but still you like the matchups there. And then go to Florida, which Florida doesn't seem really a team that I'm scared of right now.
Now, right.
They've had a lot of issues and a lot of turnover there, and it's in Gainesville in November, so who knows what those that team will look like. But I just like this year's schedule more so than before. So even though they may not be as good of a team overall than what they were last year, I think the schedule sets up nicer for them to be able to win more games, just because they haven't caught a break in the schedule in a long time. It seems like this year is actually the year they may.
Yeah, and I sure as hell would rather play in Gainesville in November than early September, hot, muggy. I mean, that humidity beats people on its own sometimes, you know, so even Arkansas catching them at the right time. And I mean, aside from Vanderbilt, I think you're right, Missouri and Florida, that's about as good as you're going to get out of the East, you know what?
Yeah, and then also that for some reason the SEC was like, well, since you get to go to Gainesville in November, you get to get LSU and Baton Rouge in September. Arkansas's never played LSU in September. And for some reason this year, they scheduled LSU being their first SEC game this year in Baton Rouge. So that's going to be disgustingly miserable. But it's true, though. It's like you, as Arkansas and as Sam Pittman, I think he understands this. Like, this is a very important year for him. This is a very important spring game for him and spring practice for him. He's got to take that next step. And I think that he's made some changes, not only in his own coaching ability, but the rest of the coaching staff, to where they're going to put together some things to try to take that next step, because if they have another 6-6 year this year, Razorback fans are not going to be happy about it, and there's going to be people wanting changes, as crazy as that may seem. So it's a big year. I think Sam Pittman will win more games. I think Arkansas will win more games this year, but there's still some things, especially defensively, that they're going to have to improve for me to have a lot more confidence in that.
Yeah, I'm glad you went there. So obviously Barry Odom's gone, head coach now, UNLV. And the defense, you know, it's not like they were that good last year. They were obviously the weaker unit. But, you know, I mean, hell, I think Barry Odom's scheme won them many games, in many of their biggest games under Sam Pittman. So that potentially is a huge loss, but I have said it, and I stay true to it. I think Travis Williams, I think he's one of the, if not the best, assistant recruiter in the SEC. Arkansas, I think their biggest issue is talent. So, you may be losing something scheme-wise, but you're getting much better recruiter. It's kind of a wash. We'll have to see how that goes. But what's your confidence level? I know they just added a huge transfer from Georgia, yeah. Singletary.
Mm-hmm.
McLaughlin is one of the best corners in the SEC. So they've got some nice pieces to build around. What's your confidence they can, you know, they don't have to be locked down here, but if we got KJ and Rocket, like you said, maybe one of the best offenses in the SEC, we need at least a capable defense. Do you think we can get there?
Well, I like the fact that, first off, they were so bad last year. They're 131st in FBS, which is dead last, and pass defense.
Yeah.
So they literally can't get worse. Like, they can't get worse. So based on that alone, I feel like, okay, that's going to be better. And I think that was the problem with Barry Odom. And because I like Barry Odom too, but he was the safeties coach, and the safeties were trash. They were awful last season and in that position. And that was what was so alarming. It's like, well, this is supposed to be your thing, and yeah. you're struggling there. I know losing Catalan was big, but there shouldn't be that much of a drop off. So I think defensively, the unit will be better. The biggest question is going to be like losing a guy like Drew Sanders.
Yeah,
he was great. Arkansas actually got to the quarterback a lot, and they had a lot of sacks last year, which is so strange to have such a terrible pass defense, but such a great ability to get to the quarterback. That's what they're going to be missing this year, or at least on paper they're going to be. So can they trade that off with something else? Can they be a little bit more effective against the run? We'll see. But I did like the Travis Williams hire, because I have always felt like in a place like Arkansas, which we know they're not going to be Georgia, Bama, LSU, to get five-star talent across the board. It's just not going to happen. So how do you do that? Well, you just got to have enough. You just haven't had enough players. And Arkansas's best defense that I feel like they've had over the past 10, 15 years was in 2014 when they were just absolutely destroying guys. They had the top 10 defense in the country. They were one of the top defenses in scoring in the SEC. And you look back and he's like, why was that? Because Rob Smith was the defense coordinator. He wasn't anything special. So it was like, so why was it that way? And that was during the time where SEC was really good. It was because you had Trey Flowers. You had Dietrich Wise, you had Darius Filon, you had Martrell Spate, you had NFL guys. Those yeah. guys play in the NFL and did play in the NFL. And that's what Arkansas has really been missing. So I feel like recruiting is, it's everything for everybody, but especially at a place like Arkansas, you just need three or four of those guys just to be a good enough defense. And I think that with Travis Williams and the recruiting that he's done and what and who they brought in so far, it could be that team, but there's just a lot of uncertainty and they just got to make it work as a collective unit.
Are you satisfied with where Arkansas is in NIL? Because that is such a huge piece of the puzzle now. I've heard conflicting things. Sam Pittman maybe not fully bought in on it. You know, he's made comments. I think it's the right comment to say, you know, you don't come here because of NIL. We want NIL to support people that really want to be here. I think that is the right message. Are you happy with where Arkansas is in an NIL landscape? Because that is so important in college athletics now.
Yeah, I am. I know that it's tough to really know how good schools are at it, and it's tough to know exactly who's getting what and where it's going, because there's not a lot of transparency in it, as yeah. we all know. But just based on who I've talked to and who would know and what I've seen, I think Arkansas actually does incredible at the NIL. Now, I think that there's also an element of that, and since we're talking specifically about football, to where – say some like Pittman, who's very, he's just a football guy. Like, he's just a football coach. And when NIL came around, I think he embraced it, but he also has a thing of like, hey, I'm just trying to coach. You just need to go out and play. Let's work this out. I think where he comes into play and why it may be something he doesn't necessarily like, or maybe takes a different stance on it, is when, and this has happened, players have come to Pittman either after the season or sometimes during the season or whatever, be like, hey, I want more NIL. He's like, why? Who are you? Why do you deserve it? And it's just not to say that he's, saying you don't deserve anything, but it's like, no, we need you to, you got to get ready. You got to practice. You got to get ready for the offseason. Like, these are the things that I think he has a problem with. And when that happens, if it's a player that honestly is replaceable in his mind, he says, all right, go to the portal then.
Yeah.
And that happened this past year, or at least this past offseason. There was players that came to him, because Arkansas had a ton of players enter into the portal,
mm-hmm.
but there were particular players that came to him and it's like, I want more. And he's like, no, go to the portal. We'll find somebody else. And so again, I think that they do a good job when it comes to finding the value in the players, and especially as an athletic department in general. And I think Pittman does it and embraces it and loves it too, but you can't just have this happen every single year where you have players coming up and trying to negotiate with you, and he's not going to stand for it, especially if you're a replaceable player. And that's just the reality. You know, if KJ Jefferson came up and said, "Coach, I want more money," he's probably like, "All right, well, let's see what we can do." But if it's somebody else that you could find somebody just as good in the portal, or if they weren't as good as what maybe they thought they were via NIL, then you move on from it. So it's finding that balance. But I think Arkansas overall does a really good job with it.
Now, I've asked you this a couple of times. I feel like almost like annually I have to ask you about Missouri.
Oh, God.
And how it seems like 99% of Arkansas fans hate that game. Not a rivalry. To hell with Missouri. And I get it because it's force-fed. But it wouldn't be the first rivalry. I mean, Florida LSU was force-fed too, but that kind of became one. You know, we were civil, but we got into it a little bit, I think. I said, Missouri's a better football program. You said, no shot in hell, basically.
Yeah.
Why is Arkansas better than football program than Missouri, you think?
Well, I like to look at it as, you know, who has the amenities, who has the better setup to be successful. And, again, on the field, you got to give credit to where it's due, is Missouri has beaten Arkansas more often than not since they've joined the SEC, but that's been a very frustrating thing for Razorback fans to deal with. But I look at it as far as recruiting, as far as the money, as far as the facilities, as far as all of those things, Arkansas is a place that's better set up for that. Now, it's not to say that Missouri is a 2-10 team every year and is just an absolute dumpster fire of a program. I'm not saying that at all. It's just in the minds of Razorback fans, in the minds of me, at least from speaking from my opinion, I think Arkansas has a better setup to be successful. And I think that also, again, Missouri, they've had some few years here and there, though, too. But it's like Arkansas went under the Petrino years. They won in the SEC. I think that they've proven that they can be that type of place where you can win at a high clip in the SEC with the right coach, because that's what it always comes down to. And Arkansas's just really yet to get that going ever since Petrino had left. So I still think they're a better program. I give credit to Missouri for winning these games. But at the same time, if you're a program that after you beat Arkansas and go to 6-6 and your coach lights up a cigar in celebration and victory like Eli Drinkwitz did, to me, that shows you how you're not a big-time program. You got a raise, and you still have yet to have a winning season. Like, what are you talking about? How are you? Who is justifying this? That's when, again, I hated losing to him, and it just really frustrated me. But when I saw Eli Drinkwitz go 6-6 and light up a victory cigar as if he just won the Iron Bowl, I'm like, dude, that shows exactly where you're at as a program.
Well, that being said, are you disappointed? Nothing's official, but it looks like Arkansas and Missouri are going to continue to play annually. It's been reported. Who else? Texas? And Ole Miss, I believe, is the other one. I mean, that Ole Miss, that's a hell of a series. I'm happy that's, if that is the case, going to be continued. I'm happy we saw it. Texas found out what Razorback Stadium's all about, didn't they?
Oh,
but
yeah.
That seems like a hell of a game. What's your thoughts on those three, if that is what happens, what Arkansas gets?
I don't think you could have anything better than that for Arkansas, honestly, because the Texas game is historic and it's a rivalry. I know that Texas, you know, probably sees it differently, and they haven't played as often as what they probably don't view it the same way as Oklahoma or maybe not even Texas A&M, because we know that game's going to be coming back. But as far as Arkansas Texas, there's a lot of history there, and I at least applaud Greg Sankey and the SEC that if it becomes true that that's the case, that they understand that rivalry too. It goes back a long way, because everybody, like, what, Texas is a huge brand. There's a lot of teams that probably want to play Texas every year. So to give that to Arkansas, I want to give a lot of credit to the SEC and Greg Sankey if that ends up being possible. In the Ole Miss game, I feel the same way, which it helps that Arkansas had so much success against Ole Miss, because I think when Hugh Freeze was there, they only lost to Hugh Freeze once. And you know, since Lane Kiffin's been there, they've only lost to him once. And that was, you know, 2 years ago, where Arkansas was a 2-point conversion from winning it.
Yep.
So they've had a lot of success. That probably helps. But that game is insane. Every year it's insane. You know, no matter what's going to happen. And so I love the fact that it's staying. I love the fact that it's going to be something that's happening every year, and it should. And then the Missouri thing, I know I just trashed on Missouri, but it's like, I get it. I kind of gotten to the point where it's like, yeah, I accept it. I know nobody wants that. And it's honestly not even playing Missouri. It's playing Missouri at the end of the year. I think that's what people hate.
Yeah.
And because you had Arkansas-LSU, the Battle of the Golden Boot, which LSU never viewed it as much of a rivalry as Arkansas. We all know that. But it was always a game of meaning, you know, because you got a big time. You get all these other games, all these other rivalries that people are paying attention to and watching. They're like, oh, man, these are great. And it's like, what is Arkansas getting? Well, they get Missouri. Like, nobody's tuning in that's a casual college football fan to watch the Arkansas-Missouri game.
Yeah.
But they would for Arkansas-LSU. So if that game was just not at the end of the year, I feel like it would be different. But at the same time, now everybody else is playing somebody else, and somebody's got to play Missouri, and somebody's got to play Arkansas. So that's what happened. So I'd love to see that changed. If it changed, I think it'd be a lot different. But again, I've accepted it. It'll be fine. I'll just have to hopefully just make sure Arkansas tries to win some of those games, because again, I'm sick and tired of losing to them.
Well, hopefully the Jerry World game is coming to an end soon. You know, we'll get back to home and home with Texas A&M, even if that's not an annual opponent. How much do you think being able to sell, I would assume, basically every year, Arkansas will be playing in Texas outside of Jerry World, but, you know, either in Austin or in College Station. How much do you think that's going to help the football program recruit that state? They recruited already, but I feel like that's an even easier sell to make.
You know, I've heard that a lot, and I've gotten in arguments or debates with people about this. I don't believe that playing the games in Texas is going to help Arkansas's recruiting in the state of Texas as much as what people think. Now, it may help some. And the reason I believe that is because there was an element before Texas A&M joined the SEC that there was playing in the SEC and Arkansas kind of being the logical choice for anybody from Texas, because there's a lot of Razorback fans in the Dallas area. There's, you know, Jerry Jones. Like, mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff there. And once A&M joined the conference, I feel like that whole aura of going to Arkansas playing in the SEC, there's still a little bit of it there, but they're like, oh, we'll just go to A&M. And now it's going to be the same thing with Texas. I don't think it's going to change anything in a major way as far as that goes. I hope it would, and I wish it would, because obviously Texas has great talent. But I still don't think that's going to be one of the first schools that they look at when big-time players are coming out of the state of Texas is, oh, well, Arkansas is there. So I don't think it helps. I think it's more of just the exposure and, you know, maybe being in areas that you haven't played before and maybe being on TV that you haven't been on and, you know, being in that element, I think. But as far as the recruiting goes, I just don't see it having that much of an impact. And I honestly hope they play in Jerry World continuing, not against A&M, though. I want that to go to a home and home. But I'd like for them to find ways to still play in Jerry World, because like Razorback fans and A&M fans are probably tired of it. But how I look at it, I was like, okay, you know how other college football teams get to play in Jerry World? They either have to go to the Cotton Bowl or the Big 12 title game,
mm-hmm.
or you know, have one of those early season neutral site games. That's it. Like, there's a lot of college football teams, great college football teams, that never in 4 or 5 years or whatever got to play in Jerry World. And you get to play in it every year. So I'd like to see it still connected. I'd like to see it somehow still part of Arkansas' schedule. Just got to get rid of that Little Rock game and more Memorial, and then it'll be a little bit easier to have that game in Jerry World. But, yeah, I hope it stays in some regard.
Yeah, every person I hear from Arkansas, they want to get rid of that damn Little Rock game. Yes. Why are we still playing it?
Because of money. Yeah. And not because of the amount of money that Arkansas makes on it, because they actually lose a ton of money on it. But it's about donors. It's about, you know, appeasing the right people and yeah. everything. And I live in Little Rock now, and I do a radio show in Little Rock. And it's tough because I know a lot of people are very passionate about keeping that game there. And I'm from Northwest Arkansas. I'm from Fayetteville. And so I've always been someone who has that thought that the games need to stay there. But here's my whole point in all of that. If you're an SEC school, you cannot be playing a, quote, home game in a stadium like that. That's bad. Right. There is not a worse place to play facility-wise. And I'm not trying to crap on it, but I'm just saying there's SEC schools everywhere that they play is elite, or at least as close to it. You're playing in an SEC venue, you know there's a certain standard.
Mm-hmm.
Neutral site games, a certain standard. Even in bowl games, for the most part, there's a standard. And so when you play that game in Little Rock, it's the standards is not there. You're not at home. You have to travel. You have to treat it like a road game if you're the Razorbacks, because you know you go through the travel preparations.
Yep.
It's not a great facility.
Host recruits.
Yeah, you can't host recruits. You're paying to rent out that stadium, so the U of A has to pay for that. And you think about the amount of money that they're losing at the U of A and Fayetteville, not having concessions, not having the merchandising, not having any of that. So. And losing the visits, I think, is the biggest issue. The recruiting visits are everything. And I think Sam Pittman understood this, because there was a time where it was so dumb. Arkansas had 2 SEC home games in Fayetteville every year. There's zero excuse for that. And so I think that they finally got to the point to where they realize, this is nonsense. We can't do this anymore. The contract's was over in 2024 with War Memorial Stadium. Hunter Yurecek met with the people down there, and they changed it to where essentially they got Missouri out of there. They're going to start, they play those in Fayetteville now. And then in 2025, they're going to finally play Arkansas State, which has never happened. It's never been a thing. Frank Broyles never allowed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe once that game happens in 2025 in War Memorial Stadium against Arkansas State, it's over. It's done. And I think it's right. I think it needs to happen. It's way too late for that. And they will get back to being a normal football program in the SEC where they play their home games at home.
Right, and I think that's just such an easy sell to just sit here and say, because of geography and recent history, we're kind of already behind the eight ball compared to Alabama,
yeah,
LSU, A&M, Texas, in recruiting-wise. We have to do everything we can. You want this team to be good.
Yeah.
We have to do everything we can to, not that you're miles behind those, but you're making hurdles that don't need to be there.
Yeah, you're handicapping yourself, essentially, for making it worse than what it needs to be. And that's the thing that people just, again, most Razorback fans, I think, are on board now with getting rid of the game in Little Rock. There was a lot of, you know, back and forth. And I think a big part of it, too, is when we talked about the Arkansas-LSU game at the end of the season. That game was in War Memorial. Arkansas won those games very often. You know, there's some Miracle on Markham, part one, part two. There were great moments in that. And so I think that's what people hang on to, is just the nostalgia of it. But if you just look at the reality and look at the way college football is and how it's so competitive when it comes to recruiting, you need every single thing you possibly can have to go your way in recruiting, especially in Arkansas, especially in football. Because, you know, in basketball and in baseball, Arkansas in the state has elite level talent. Like Arkansas basketball, for instance. I mean, you're talking about Isaiah Joe and Jalen Williams right now are starting in the NBA at Oklahoma State. Those both guys are from Arkansas. Nick Smith Jr. on the team right now, number one player out of high school, is from Arkansas. Moses Moody from Arkansas, mm-hmm. Bobby Portis from Arkansas, Daniel Gafford from Arkansas. Like all these guys are, so you have elite level talent in basketball, same in baseball too. Football, it's just not there, not into the level that it needs to be for you to field an entire team. There'll be some years where it's really good, but then there's some years where there may not even be a four-star player. So you have to be able to do everything you can to make your path in recruiting as beneficial as possible. Because if you don't, you're going to get left behind. You're going to end up having a lesser talent, which we know in the SEC, it's just going to get better and better. So, yeah, I think that it's way overdue, and anything that they can possibly do to help their cause in recruiting, they need to do it.
Are you excited to get to play Oklahoma? I mean, because the proximity between Norman and Fayetteville is fairly close, as I understand.
Yeah, thank goodness. I was sick and tired of, like, every game against an SEC team is like, well, you're going to have to spend a weekend. You couldn't do a day trip,
yeah,
which I know is you know, like Arkansas fans have just been used to it. But like, for instance, I went to North Carolina this past year for the Chapel Hill Super Regional where Arkansas baseball was there. And I was just driving around. I'm like, North Carolina's right here. Duke's right here. NC State's right here. All within like a 10-mile radius.
Yeah.
I was like, man, how insane is that? Like if football and basketball, he's like, I would just drive over there. We'll make a day trip out of it. And I know not every place is like that. But Arkansas, with no major school in the state, there's no close to any major school around there, at least in the conference. So I think that's the thing I might be most excited about, is just when we do play Oklahoma there in Arkansas, like you'll be able to head over there and, you know, if it's a 2:30 game or something like that, head over there in the morning, head back at night.
Yep.
And that's just a really nice thing to have, finally. They haven't played – Oklahoma State's really close, too. They haven't played them in football often at all, but they do have them on the schedule here in the coming year, so that'll be nice. So, yeah, anything that's closer for proximity for Arkansas, especially against a major team in a road game, is something that they need to do more of. So I'm excited about that for once, just to be able to make an easy drive over there.
How happy are you to get Alabama off the annual schedule?
I mean, I don't know. It's just like it's nice for the competitive side of things, but sometimes I was like, yeah, man, surely Arkansas is going to win one of these times. You know, they haven't won since 2006.
Yeah,
I mean, it was the second term of the Bush administration the last time that this team had beaten Alabama, and the coaches were Houston Nutt and Mike Shula, and the quarterbacks were John Parker Wilson and Mitch Mustang. Like, everyone's just like, holy crap! Like, how that was so long ago. But that's what it is. So it's like I want to beat them at some point. Like you want. Nick Saban to have some sort of L against Arkansas at some point at Bama, but I mean, I'm fine with it, but at the same time, it doesn't bother me because Alabama is going to beat everybody no matter what, and so I still think they're going to play him pretty often, maybe just not every year, But I know that the 1 year that Alabama's going to be terrible is the 1 year that Arkansas's not going to be able to play them. So I'm completely and totally reserved to that notion.
All right, last thing for you. I really appreciate you coming in here. You referenced the upcoming schedule. What do you think is the biggest game on the schedule for Arkansas next season? And not necessarily, you know, like you could say Alabama because if they win it, you know what that would do for the program. But I'm just saying, like, in terms of having a really good season next year, who do you circle as one where you really think Arkansas needs to win that to have a great season?
A&M. And I don't even think it's close. You know, Arkansas has beaten A&M in that Southwest Classic now four times. There was a long time, the long stretch, where it was so frustrating, too, because there were so many of those games Arkansas was the better team.
Yeah.
That Arkansas should have won. Like, Kevin Sumlin never lost to Arkansas, and that's absurd. And there were so many times that happened, it was so frustrating. But those years that Arkansas had beaten A&M, I don't know if there's any sort of correlation, but the four times, those were four of Arkansas's best seasons. You think about the first year that they did it in the very first Southwest Classic in 2009, Arkansas ended up going 7-5, but they smoked A&M. But the next year, beat A&M, go to the Sugar Bowl 10-2. The next year, they go 11-2, beat A&M, on a crazy comeback, end up going to the Cotton Bowl. And then the last year, or 2 years ago in 2021, you beat A&M, and it's one of your best years. I think that there's something to that, to where if you get that game out of the way, and you get that early season confidence, it opens you up for the rest of the way. And so I believe that that is always, every year, the key and pivotal game for Arkansas. Because in most cases, Arkansas has been a better team. In most cases, Arkansas has played better. But they choked it away. They screwed around. They had big plays like last year. That, you know, that KJ Jefferson dive that ended up being a return for a touchdown for A&M. If he punches that in, Arkansas wins that game, but you know that is, or a field goal that hits the top of the upright. Like, how often does that happen? Stuff like that is where it's like, it's been annoying that you can't be consistent in that game. But when you do win, when you do have success, it seems like the season is successful too. So to me, that's always going to be the key game for Arkansas.
Oh, I know. I know. I said last question, but you made me. Yeah. Now I got to ask you this because
I got time.
You referenced the good years, Bobby Petrino at A&M. Thoughts on that? And surely that's not going to go over well if Texas A&M secures a big win that day against Arkansas.
Yeah, that's something that I was watching Arkansas and Missouri State last year when Bobby Petrino, of course, was coaching there. And Missouri State maybe should have even won that game. Like, they played really well. And I'm there with my buddies. They're watching the game, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, I hate the fact that they're having success against Arkansas, but it gives me very much nostalgia of how I miss those days. I miss those beautiful slants and those wheel routes out of the back. Like, it was a quintessential Bobby Petrino team, and I missed it so much, and I love it. But I mean, there's part of me that feels like it could be bad, like at Texas A&M with Petrino there. Bad in as far as they are good. Like, they have a good offense because he – say what you want about Petrino. Dude knows how to put together an effective offense with effective quarterback play. Like, that's what he does. But that being said, too, he hasn't been an offensive coordinator since, what, Auburn back in 2003-04? That's a long time for a coach, especially someone like him, where he's a control freak. He's a dictator. He's a militant. Like, it's his way or the highway.
Mm-hmm.
And so for him to suddenly just go into a Jimbo Fisher team and Petrino's calling a play and Jimbo's going to be like, no, we need to run this.
You're right.
I don't know how that's going to go. Like, because when you get used to that, that's 20 years he's been doing that, and then he's just going to change. I don't know how that plans out, but,
and it's not like there's a big grace period. A&M's got to win.
It's this year. I feel like if A&M does not, and again, I know that people from A&M may disagree, but I feel like if A&M doesn't win at least 8-9 games this year, they need to fire Jimbo. I think they fired him last year.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that he should already been fired.
Yeah, but when you sign him to, you know, more money than God, and you know, it's like he's over here making Johnny Carson money. It's like how do you fire him? But yeah, I think that if Petrino goes down there and he is given full control and Jimbo does not interfere whatsoever, it could be pretty good because he's got some serious talent down there to work with. But again, I just don't know how that's going to work, especially with Jimbo, who has been the OC. You know, he's been the play caller.
His entire head coaching career.
Yeah, and so how's he going to handle that? And when those two guys, knowing how difficult it is to work with Petrino and knowing Jimbo and his ego, to me, that's a more likely scenario. I feel like there's going to be issues. There's going to be problems because I know the second in game one, game two, or whatever, with A&M's offense looks crisp and good and amazing, everyone's going to be giving all the credit to Bobby Petrino.
Yep.
How's Jimbo going to feel about that? Because it was the same thing. It could turn up being a same situation with Houston Nutt and Gus Malzahn at Arkansas, where Arkansas's offense was putrid under Houston Nutt, trash. Malzahn comes in. All of a sudden, it's fun, exciting. Everyone's giving him credit. Houston Nutt didn't like that. Ended up being a horrible divorce and ended up holding the team back that year. It could end up being that situation. But I will always love Bobby Petrino for what he did at Arkansas, not for how he – handled his off the field stuff. I'll never, of course, like that, but hey, I'll always root for him. But in that game against A&M and in that situation, I hope that it doesn't work out, and then maybe he can get a job somewhere else.
I feel like in the back of his mind, he knows if things go sideways, who's going to be interim, mm-hmm. and if I can Ed O this thing, I could be the next coach at A&M. I feel like that's part of why he took that job.
Yeah, I think so too. He wants to be a head coach, and I think he's wanting to, of course, build back his reputation. But people forget, you know, he was the UNLV OC for like 2 seconds.
Right.
So I was like, maybe that was the best thing. I think I saw the joke that said that Bobby's wife over there saw Vegas, and then they saw College Station and the male cheerleaders. They're like, yeah, Bobby, you're going this way instead of hanging out in Vegas. You're going to go over there where the temptations aren't as high. So maybe that was an element of that too, but. Yeah, it could again, with A&M, it's either going to go horribly wrong or it's going to go really incredible, one of two ways.
Yeah. Well, John Neighbors, I can't thank you enough for coming in. Before you go, can you tell the audience where's the best place to find all your work?
Yeah, absolutely. It's 103.7 The Buzz down there in Little Rock. You know, you can stream us anytime. I'm 1 to 4 on hosting Out of Bounds each and every weekday afternoon. Of course, I'm not doing it until I'm in the SEC tournament here. But so I do that from 1 to 4. And then the Locked On Razorbacks podcast is the number one Razorbacks podcast in the state of Arkansas. Always want to make sure everyone knows that, of course. And you can find it wherever podcasts are found. And also on YouTube, you can follow me on social media at Buzz John Neighbors for pretty much everything, too. And I don't like to take myself too seriously, obviously, with the way I'm dressed and the way you're dressed. So I like to have a good time. But, yeah, if you follow me there, a lot of hot takes, a lot of Arkansas stuff, and a lot of nonsensical parts of my mind and thoughts that just get put out on social media.
So. Yeah. All right. Perfect. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, no problem.